HarperCollins presents The Orphan's Secret Library by Glynis Peters. Read by Sophia Engstrand. To the volunteers of the 100th Bomb Group Memorial Museum, with my thanks. So, when you see mighty aircraft as they mark their way through the air, remember the grease-stained man with a wrench in his hand is the one who put them there. Anonymous. Prologue. Falling in love with books. The moment 5-year-old Alice Carmichael lifted down her first book from the highest shelf of her father's bookcase, she was in love. She traced her finger in admiration across the gold-embossed lettering, and lifted open the green cover to stroke the creamy paper on the inside. In wonder, she turned the pages, knowing they offered words waiting to transport her into another world. Alice sniffed them and closed her eyes, imagining the author deep in thought at a large leather desk, much like her father owned. It was when Alice was invited to live with her grandmother in 1941, at the age of 15, that she discovered the library. One afternoon, feeling overwhelmed, she had walked into a room full of ancient books that had not been given up to the war effort. Alice stood, staring, as if she had walked into a treasure trove of words encased in wondrous covers of colour. She started to count the books, but when she reached 100, she stopped, seeing that there were at least another 100 awaiting her attention. She vowed to read each book, to give it the respect it deserved, and to honour the author. Her grandparents' collection would keep her going for several years. Time in the room was spent drifting into another world, curled up and transported away from the war. Here, Alice could fight a whale, kiss a prince, run through dark woods with a handsome man, and climb a snowy mountain in a country she would never visit in real life. This library was a magical home for her heart and mind, a place to breathe, not hide away, frightened by the noises around her. It was not a sparse room, with grubby, torn books like she had seen at the orphanage. It was a place to heal, to start a new life. Dear Diary, life is certainly different in Great Yarmouth to that in the orphanage. My grandmother, Mary Fenn, is a kind and generous woman. Nothing like I remember about my mother. She has a library. Oh, my word, a beautiful room with leather chairs, large wooden bookcases, and colourful drapes at the windows, which remind me of autumn. It is a beautiful room, filled with beautiful books. I am going to be 16 after Christmas, and I just know I am going to be happy here for the rest of my life. Chapter 1. May 1943. In a state of exhaustion, Alice pressed on through the narrow lanes of Norfolk, her sore feet, weary, bruised limbs, and overwhelmed mind making each step a challenge. What if I don't find Jane? Where do I go from here? What happens now? Questions shouted out into the wilderness of empty tree-lined lanes remained unanswered. Shadows stretched across the small lane, and when the sunlight tucked itself away, Alice was tempted to put the fur coat hanging from her suitcase across her shoulders. A few minutes later, a sweat formed across her top lip and brow, and she was glad she had not. Alice stumbled, her slightly large, heeled brogue shoes inadequate for the long walk. She tried hard to ignore the blister blooming on the side of one foot, now protected with two leaves from a dandelion plant. Her knee, already grazed from a fall, ached with a
Sample complete. Ready to continue?